pro-choice liberal feminazi slut Rush Limbaugh warned you about. It's Start Me Up.
Start Me Up.
With Kimberly A. Johnson.
Hello. Well, I have a show for you today. Stephanie Walton joins me a little bit later, and we talked about Donald Trump, of course, and we talked about the big 2005 tax form thing, and we covered that a little bit, but then we really started getting into the juicy conversation. First, we talked about hormones and menopause and perimenopause and the thickening of vaginal walls and hot flashes, which may not sound like it's that much fun, but we were pretty honest about she's 51 and I'm going to be 49. So we just shared some of our experiences, but mainly we kind of get to how women who are going through hormonal changes can still experience really good sex. And then that led us into a conversation, which I already knew we were going to talk about yesterday, and I posted it on Facebook, about women and orgasms and the fact that a lot of women don't have orgasms with intercourse, and oftentimes they lie about it and say they do. So we really, 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 really went in deep and talked about, you know, the different ways to enjoy yourself with your partner, and how to ask for different things in bed, and even got a little tidbit from Bob Seska, my boyfriend and my producer. So there's all kinds of, like I said, juicy information. And, you know, we talk about vaginas and orgasms, and we wanted to just lay it all out, because a lot of women feel uncomfortable talking about it with their partners. They're afraid. And so we kind of got into that too. So there's a lot that we covered. And I think you're going to find that this show is a little bit different than other shows that I've done in the past, because most of the time I focused on either, like, you know, civil rights or women's rights and politics. So yes, we do start out with my thoughts and her thoughts on the Donald Trump tax thing and where we think it's going and what the important parts of that story were. But then we really do just launch into this whole conversation about the tingly lady parts and and all, you know, all kinds of fun sex stuff. So I do hope you'll listen, and I'm going to get right into it. But of course, before I do that, I'm going to ask you for your support. And since I am an indie podcaster, you know, my income relies on people supporting me. So you can pledge a dollar, and that'll get you my undying gratitude. And of course you want that. And if you want to sign up for $5 a month, then you get the access to And Another Thing segment, which is what we talk about after the free show. And if you want to do $10 per month, you get the extra bonus show. You can support me with any amount you feel comfortable with. But those are the three that I've set up. And, you know, it's just a good way to support indie, whether it's authors or indie publishers, because I'm also an author. I hope that you do. You just go to patreon.com/startmeup.com, and you'll find all the ways that you can donate. So Stephanie, who was, she is with The Lady Brain Show, which I believe airs in Northern California. And there's a Facebook page called The Lady Brain Show. And I believe she also has a website, The Lady Brain Show, you can go look up. She's going to be joining me here in just a moment. And I can't wait to get to it, because she really is so cool. I had her on before. She's just so open. She's very easy to talk to. She's not afraid to just say it. So without any further ado, everybody, welcome Stephanie.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out.
Welcome back, Stephanie.
Hi, Kimberly.
Thank you for joining me on my podcast.
Oh, yes. Always a pleasure.
Oh, my gosh. So just so everyone knows, we had a little bit of technical difficulties getting this whole thing set up, but now we're ready to go.
Yep.
So that's good. So why don't we just like get right into it? We're gonna talk about three things. And okay. Those things are, first, we're just going to kind of touch on the 2005 tax return that Rachel Maddow talked about last night. And then we're going to talk about thickening vaginal walls for women going through menopause. And then we're just going to talk about orgasms.
If you're lucky enough to still have them with your thin walls.
Actually, I should have chosen the song "My Sugar Walls." That would have been good.
Yes,
Sheena Easton.
And Sheena Easton is always a welcome attendant to any party or attendee, I should say. Okay, all right. Let's talk. Let's get the boner killer out of the way first.
Yes, let's do.
Okay.
So what? Well, just what did you think?
Well, okay. So this is something that I have been waiting for, as I'm sure you have, and anybody that hates Trump. We're clinging on to any morsel of a possibility of him being impeached or going away or shipping off or who knows what. So I was really excited, and it was kind of like a wah, wah. I mean, it's good, and I think there's going to be more to come, but I was expecting I thought a bomb was about to be dropped, and that just wasn't the case last night.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's what I have to say about, I think there's two things we're talking about here. Number one, the way the Rachel Maddow show hyped it up. I think that was a stupid mistake.
I agree.
She's been getting amazing ratings because she's been doing amazing reporting and really connecting the dots with Russia. I would venture a guess that it was her producer that decided to tweet it out the way they did. They did follow up with a tweet saying that it was the 2005 tax form. But what she did was she got everyone, including me, just like you, excited for something. But as David K. Johnson, who was on her show and talked about the fact that, you know, he got this in the mail, he suggested that it's possibly a Trump leak. Well, yes, I absolutely believe that it's a Trump leak. Mm-hmm. And the thing is I don't, you know, I'm not going to try to convince people to like Rachel Maddow or not like her or I don't think her show, I don't think you should stop watching her show based on this, because I wouldn't, you know, I see a lot of people comparing this to Geraldo Rivera, and I don't really think it's the same thing with Al Capone. Bones Vault. She did have something, but what this, you know, whether or not she fell for anything, I do think it was leaked in that, you know, so that Trump, and I've got a tweet, or somebody tweeted something out that I'm going to read in a minute, but he chose these particular tax forms for a reason, because it made him look good. It made it look like, oh, look, everybody, I wasn't lying. And all of his supporters can say, look, he pays all his taxes. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing to see here. Ha ha ha. You liberals are fucking idiots. And, and then the White House scolds Maddow and says it's illegal to talk about or show his taxes, which it is not, and of course his supporters don't care. They're just going to jump on the it's illegal, and then he can paint the media into being the big bad mean monster that he likes to say they are. So there's some guy I know, there's an article going around, and I don't have it in front of me, but there was somebody on Twitter who posted this, and I'm going to read what he wrote. It's a couple of paragraphs, and I think this is it. So this is it's Jester Actual, I guess, is the guy's name on Twitter. And it says, Donald Trump married Melania Knaus in 2005. She had been a permanent resident since 2001. She became a U.S. citizen in 2006, part of the U.S. naturalization checklist, part of the U.S. naturalization checklist, the last 5 years tax returns, or the last 3 years tax returns if married to a U.S. citizen, which would be in Melania's case. So 2003 single filing, 2004 single filing, and then 2005 joint filing with Donald J. Trump. Melania's citizenship depended on a squeaky, clean joint tax filing in 2005. This is why he leaked part of it. And it was the only year he was forced to play by the rules. Mm-hmm. So this guy writes, this was a clear attempt to game the U.S. public and media distract from all the other shit that's going on and make himself look awesome. If this was a leak by a concerned third party, there is no way it would be so beneficial to Trump. And those are the key words.
Right.
This was
right.
very beneficial to him. So I do believe there's a story there that is getting lost on people who are either complaining about Maddow or being disappointed that this wasn't the big, you know, smoking gun that we were all hoping for.
Right. You know? I mean, you know, Rachel has been doing an amazing job of investigative reporting. And I now know what the Bank of Cyprus is, and I know who the king of fertilizer is now. And there's something really fucking shady going on. And there has been for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Okay. But this was one little gem. Trump's like, oop, oop, take your eye off the ball. Look what I did. I played by the rules this one time. And this is the first I'm hearing of this Melania, you know, needing to file 3 years of taxes or provide 3 years to become a citizen.
Right.
That makes perfect sense. Okay. Yeah. So we've taken our eye off the ball for 1 second.
Right.
But there is so much more there. Mm-hmm. And this was the first, whether he leaked it or somebody else leaked it, somebody's going to leak the rest.
Well, right. And well, it, I think it is coming. Him because it says client copy. On the and not only that, I think that you know, how does one react when they feel they're up against a wall? You know, he's like a caged animal right now, and we all know that Russia also hacked the RNC, and God only knows what they have on him. What kind of blackmail? And even if it's not the Russians blackmailing him with this information, there is something that he's probably aware of. Because we haven't heard anything about his taxes until now. You know, he's been busy saying a bunch of other shit, but he's left his taxes alone. Now, all of a sudden, out of the blue, here it comes. I mean, I know tax day is coming, but it's still over a month away. And in Trump world, that might as well be, you know, 3 decades from now.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's like, I think that they are concerned about something. Yeah. Which is a big fat question mark to us right now. Yeah. And, you know, we might see why they're so concerned soon. I just think it's a big fat mistake for, look, there were things that I'm not going to go into at this point in the game because I'm not going to relitigate the primaries. But there were some things that I saw on MSNBC that pissed me off, the way that they handled the primaries. And it was not only just from one side of it, it was from all sides. I didn't like the way they handled the primaries because I felt that too many of the journalists and the show hosts or whatever the shows were focusing on Donald Trump. I thought that they were going for ratings as opposed to really getting into the nitty gritty. So I have some valid arguments against some of these people, you know, whether it's, I don't really have anything against Lawrence O'Donnell, but you know, all of them.
Well, we know that about you though.
I know. I love Lawrence, but I, you know, I thought that in this particular case, it's not beneficial to, you know, go on a witch hunt after Rachel Maddow or mock her too much for this, because whether or not it was a mistake for her to hype it really isn't the fucking issue. The fucking issue is Russia and Trump and the fact that they're dismantling this country. And, you know, while we're busy screaming and pointing our fingers at her, it's like, you know, not that you and I are going to stop them from dismantling the country and you know, making everything like no law anymore, but you know, no law and order, but we all have to keep our eye on the most important part of the story. And that to me is not the most important part.
No, but Rachel was on Lawrence O'Donnell after, cause I just couldn't tear myself away last night. Rachel sat and David K. Johnson was also Lawrence's guest. And one point that Rachel made was this: yeah, this might not be the explosive tax document that we were all hoping for, but this we cannot lose sight of the fact that this sick fuck who is in the White House does not have the country's best interests at heart. He is not doing what's best for the American people. He's doing what's best for himself at every turn. And that's worth noting. So yes, let's continue to uncover and let's continue to expose all of the wrongdoings he has going on with Russia that are, you know, decades probably he's been doing this shit. Let's take a look at the places he does business. Turkey, Azerbaijan, places where, you know, he's not doing business in France. He's not doing business in Germany. where shit's on the up and up. Mm-hmm. He's doing it in places where he can get away with stuff. He's doing business somehow through the Bank of Cyprus or taking money from people who do their banking there for the shitty house in Florida that he sold to the king of fertilizer, who, you know, the dude never inhabited for double.
Right.
The year he was being pressed to pay people back millions and millions of dollars, the year he almost crumbled again. So there's a lot here. And yeah, I sound like a freak. I'm sweating right now, which will be part of part two of this conversation, I have a feeling. But he makes me insane. Like, there's so much that has gone awry and so much that is off the rails and just straight up criminal with the man who is in the White House. I've decided, you know, no president mixed with his name ever. But this is scary. This is going to explode. I have faith.
Well, I'm sure hopeful, and I really want the Democratic Party to unify and fight him. And I mean, I appreciate all the Republicans who are standing up and fighting against him, like McCain and Lindsey Graham.
Yep.
And, you know, fingers crossed, because I think that we have a very limited amount of time. You know, this is not like having Bush and Cheney. It is not the same thing. They did a lot of damage, but this is completely different. This country, everything that, you know, all the rules and the traditions, it's all being dismantled. And, you know, what are we going to do once it's all gone? Who are we going to call on? You know, it's like, it reminds me of, you know, Kristen Gillibrand is fighting to have a third party come into the military and investigate rape. Because if your commanding officer rapes you, who do you have to go to? Your commanding officer. Well, it's kind of the same thing with Trump here. It's like, you know, when Trump is raping the country and Trump is the last word on the country, where do you turn?
Right.
So, you know, I mean, there's so much here. And, you know, I don't know who's listening and who watches Rachel Maddow or who hates Rachel Maddow or whatever. But if you've been watching her, I would encourage you to continue watching her, because her reporting is so important and she's uncovering and connecting the dots. And I mean, I think it's must see TV.
I agree. It really is.
And I've gotten over, you know, with MSNBC and how they were, you know, I wasn't even watching them in the primaries because they were pissing me off so much. But now I'm like, all right, you know, I think that Lawrence is doing a grand job. And, you know, I also think that what's that guy's name, Bob?
Chris Hayes?
No, the one who comes on after Lawrence. Brian Williams is doing.
Oh, love.
Brian doing. Hey, he's doing a great job.
I've forgiven him.
Me too.
Because he is too good. He knows his shit. And he's so good in the moment.
Yeah, he is.
He doesn't need a script. And these that's what I love about all of them. Like, I'm with you on during the primaries and during the elections, it was a little too much. And Rachel kind of drove me insane. But right now, Rachel is Woodward and Bernstein.
She's on fire. And she, you know, I mean, one little thing, which I'm guessing is a decision made by her producers, whether it was a joint decision with her and her producers or not, it doesn't matter. This is TV. It's a ratings game. They went for it. I think they made a mistake in the way they hyped it. But in the end, that is the smallest piece of this story, and it's not something that we should be focusing on.
Right.
So, okay, now that we've gotten that out of the way, now we can talk about plumping up vaginal walls.
I don't know. You know, you said that. I don't think my walls are deflated or thin.
Well, that's good. So let's just back up here a little bit. And this was not a subject that we were originally planning on discussing. But before we started the show, we were having our little conversation about hot flashes. And I'm 49. I'm going to be 49 in July. And I started menopause fairly early. And you told me that you started it fairly early.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you my experiences, but I'm going to let you start with yours, and I'll explain the vaginal wall thing in a minute, and you'll have a little bit more of a clear understanding. And I'm really going to be disclosing a lot of personal information here. So anyway, tell me what your situation has been, because, you know, this is something that affects pretty much all women.
Yeah. Okay. We're allowed to say anything on this show?
Anything.
Okay. So I have a very close friend. We're exactly 20 years apart, okay? So she's now 71, I'm 51. Mm-hmm. And she would tell me things like, what's in store, Steph? And she said, your pussy dries up. And I was like, oh, God. I mean, like mortified, horrified, terrified, yeah. Right? I gotta say, I've been in menopause, lucky me, since I was 46. So I'm in year 5 or whatever, however you do the math. Maybe I'm in year 6. I didn't sleep for 2 years. When you're not sleeping because you're having hot flashes around the clock and you're up 18 times a night because you're either sweating to death, you throw the covers off, you fall back to sleep from exhaustion, and then you wake up freezing just in time to put the covers back on and start sweating again. And it's just this horrible, vicious cycle that goes on all night long. Well, so sex drive sort of plummets when you're not sleeping. I'm not, you know, I got 2 little kids. It was a drag. Then I got on hormones. And within about 3 days of slapping that patch on my ass, I was back to sleeping like a baby. The sex drive's back up. And now my husband's younger than me. And one would think that he was, I don't know, 21 when we get under the covers. And he's the kind of guy, like, I'm still exhausted because now I'm off the hormones. The hot flashes are back. And so I'm tired. You know, when I want to get into bed, sometimes I just want to, I want to put my head down and take advantage of this exhaustion and maybe get a few good hours of sleep. And my husband will look over at me, and it's not like his line is always, he always says, you want to fool around? And I say, yes, but some nights I want to get right to it. And some nights Zach wants everything that's on the menu. Like, okay. And I indulge him, but let me tell you what, the pussy has not dried up. The walls, I don't believe, are thinner, although I do pee a lot when I cough, you know, that does happen, or like jumping rope or something like that. But, anyway, so here's where I am. I'm a menopausal beast. I have zits on my chin. I'm 51. My tits have doubled in size since my early 40s. And I don't sleep and I sweat all the time, but I don't have a dried up vag. So that's that.
Well, my perimenopause started, I've always had an issue with my hormones, always. And when I was, I don't know, probably like around 21, I started getting incredible cramps to where I was out of commission for 3 days. I was in bed. I would have to take really steaming hot baths in order to relieve the pain. And even one night, I was still living with my mother. There was one night when, I mean, I was in such agony. I got up to go to the kitchen to take some Advil, and I saw stars. The pain was so bad, like literally saw stars. And then on the way back to my bedroom, I fell and I like passed out. And I remember my mom came out in the hallway and she was panicked. And she said, you know, did you just pass out? And I remember kind of coming to and going, no, but clearly I had just passed out. Anyway, that's just going back to my 20s, always a fucking issue with my hormones. And anybody who's close friends with me knows this because I am not shy about complaining about it. And around 44, it was right after the very first speech I gave in 2012, I believe it was, or was it? No, I'm sorry. It was 2014. It was after the speech in 2014 on Capitol Hill. I was visiting my dad, and it was like the day after, and the hot flashes came. And I had like a few hot flashes here and there in the summer of 2013, and I distinctly remember watching that whole thing happening in Texas with Wendy Davis, and I had a few, and then that was it. But then 2014 came, and they just assaulted me, and I had maybe 40 to 50 a day.
And oh, yeah. It was just fucking
awful. It was awful. And then eventually it kind of dissipated, and then it came back. So long story short, I started, you know, I found myself in a relationship, and I was, you know, in my late 40s, and I started getting urinary tract infections, which is something that I would experience throughout my life prior to this. But now that I'm older and things are changing down there, I found out that perimenopausal and menopausal women can often suffer from urinary tract infections. And so what was happening was, I think in a period of 6 months, I think I got like 6 of them. It was like one a month. And so
wait a minute. Okay. But remember how back when we were young and we were crazy and we were using diaphragms and shit like that, and you would get one pretty much every time after, right?
I used diaphragms. I used a diaphragm once and I got, okay. I got it.
Yeah. I used a diaphragm a few times, got one every time. So that was, connected the dots pretty quickly.
Me too. Yeah.
But you find yourself in a relationship in your perimenopausal days. I'm sure you're like a bunny rabbit.
Yeah, and it kind
of
sucked.
So of course you're gonna, you're gonna get the urinary tract infections constantly anyway, right? Or is
No, because I mean, in my younger days, I was able to have sex in the bunny rabbit mode and not suffer through because I was either on birth control or whatever it was, but I wasn't using a diaphragm. But it all goes down to the fact that, you know, because I've gone through what I've gone through, the walls thin up, they got thinner.
Oh, that's why. Okay.
And so, you know, I mean, I've done a lot of research on this and I've learned now, and I'll share what I use, but I've learned how to get rid of my urinary tract or prevent them with a couple of different things, which is you can buy this from Whole Foods. It's called UT Vibrance. You can get these, if you have one, you have to read the directions, but if you have one, you take 5 pills like every 3 hours. It's got something called Uva Ursi and D Mannose, and it's D-M-A-N-N-O-S-E. Anyway, and parsley. So what I do is I take these preventatively after I've had sex. I'll take them before I go to sleep. And then I usually add some D Mannose, just plain D Mannose, which comes from cranberry, but it's not like the cranberry juice. It's another part of the cranberry, and it's distilled, and it's much better. And long story short, the way that it works is that when it's in your system, the urinary tract infection, like cells or whatever, attach itself to the D mannose. They detach from your vaginal wall and they attach to the D mannose,
and then you pee them out.
You flush them out, and then the Uva Ursi also. You know, it does a spectacular job. Sometimes D Mannose is all people need, but the Uva Ursi kills or whatever it does the actual virus. And just so you know, there are, I know I'm saying a lot here, but if you go on the internet and you look up Uva Ursi, you're going to see all these warnings that it's going to destroy your liver. What I found, there was some report by, I don't know if it was National Institute for Health or whatever it was, but it was a report that said they only came to that conclusion when Uva Ursi was made into another pill that you take and not on its own. I have been taking Uva Ursi now for about a year. I just had my liver tested and everything is fine. My doctor, I have a bioidentical doctor, and she said she has no problem with it. So far, so good. And the other thing that I do is I drink parsley tea. So you just go get parsley from the supermarket and you just chop it up real fine with the stems, do about 4 tablespoons, you know, put some water in it, don't boil it, but get it hot enough, let it steep for 20 minutes, and then you drink that. And I swear to God, that stuff is a fucking lifesaver, and it gets rid of it when you're whether you have it or you're preventing it.
Nice.
And then, so anyway, when I went to the doctor, I asked her, I said, look, I keep getting these urinary tract infections. I want to be able to fix this. What can I do? So she's prescribed testosterone, which helps with libido. And then she also prescribed something called estriol, which is different from what a lot of people know as estradiol with a D.
Right.
This is estriol, and it is the weakest estrogen, and it is the estrogen that women produce specifically when they're pregnant. And what it does is when you use it, it's like a fucking miracle, and it plumps up your vaginal walls back to like when you were a young woman. And therefore, it decreases the UTIs and it makes sex more pleasurable, because I, you know, every once in a while I was having issues with dryness, not terrible, but I could tell it was coming, because my mother gave me the same advice. She's like, you totally fucking dry up. It totally does. So, but this combination, and then I also use for the hot flashes, I use progesterone cream, and I get that on the computer, and it's Source Naturals. And I just, you know, I don't follow directions. I just slap it on. And the more you have hot flashes, the more you use. And it really makes a difference. So I want any woman out there who's having issues, whether it comes from, you know, painful sex or, you know, lots of UTIs or vaginal dryness or hot flashes, there are things that you can do, and you can you can even buy, like, I get the estriol prescribed by my bioidentical doctor, but online there's something called Smoky Mountain Naturals. You can go to Amazon and they have some estriol cream. And some women have said, I want to get some more of it from, because it's less expensive when you get it on Amazon. When you put it on your face, it starts to plump up the skin on your face.
Oh my God.
It really does, because Bob had noticed, I've stopped using it, but Bob had said to me one day when I was putting it on my face, he's like, God, your skin looks amazing. It really looks like, you know, moist and it plumps it up.
You know, I want to jump in here and say that.
Hi, Bob.
I want to be perfectly clear about one thing regarding the UTIs, that we've completely ruled out the hygiene problem.
Yes.
There was no hygiene.
Bob's not a dirty boy.
Okay. He better clear the slate for himself there. Yes. Good, Bob.
Thank you very much. Yes, that's all.
I make him take a Silkwood shower before we do
anything. Silkwood shower, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, then, you know what? That's also important, no matter what age you are.
Right.
Correct.
Take a goddamn Being shower.
Clean. I'm with you.
Come on, guys. Seriously. Shower up there.
Really, wash it up. Drop it in a sink and splash some water on it at the very least. I don't want to go down there.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously, don't go hiking and then demand sex, guys. Seriously.
Oh my God.
Nobody needs, yeah. Oh, I could take it to a really gross place, but I'm going to stop right there.
Well, you know,
I wouldn't present my, after 15 years right. with my husband, I wouldn't present myself to him in a non-pristine fashion.
Well, I'm talking about guys.
I know. And he, okay. believe me, he doesn't yeah. swing gnarly nards in my direction ever.
Gnarly nards.
He is a clean man. And I demand that.
Yeah.
I don't even have to ask with him. But right. I've had guys where it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that's over. You know what I'm saying? Because
they're just gnarly nards.
I don't need to endanger myself.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I spoke to the doctor about this, not my general, I went to a general, you know, just a regular doctor, and they didn't know jack shit. They're like, drink your cranberry juice, which is bullshit. And then they said,
yeah, cranberry juice is terrible.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't work. Make any sense. And they say that it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And then, I mean, like maybe when you're 15 or something, but it's like when you're seriously having a UTI, you need something more than cranberry juice, especially yeah. if you're even going to drink the cranberry juice, you can't have it with all the sugar. So, that's the nice thing about D-mannose. It kind of like they've isolated the thing in cranberry juice that works so well, and then they distill it down to where it's like I do capsules, and I break open the capsules and mix them with water and drink them, and it actually doesn't even have a bad taste. But I would advise that. Do you remember the name of the ones that I use, Bob? Because
wasn't it the D-mannose?
Yeah.
Wasn't it Pure?
Yeah.
Isn't that the brand?
Pure yeah. Technologies or something like that.
Yeah. It's like a white bottle with blue, like a blue logo and blue text.
And I would highly recommend getting, it's a little expensive, more expensive than some of the less expensive ones, but the less expensive ones that aren't made as well, A, aren't going to work as well, and B, will give you gas. So,
gross.
So, you don't want to necessarily go there, but the Pure, and I think it's called Pure Encapsulations or something like that, but the Pure works very well. And you just keep, you know, you just flush it out, and you do it every so often. But it really, like the doctor had said to me, you know, this is what happens. And if you go online and you Google like perimenopause and UTIs, you'll see that for a lot of women, it's a very big issue, and it keeps them from, you know, having a healthy sex life. And it stresses you out. It stresses out your partner. And, you know, I mean, there's always going to, you know, when you're getting older and you're going through hormonal fluctuations, there's always going to be some kind of an issue. So, you know, as a couple, it's great when you have, like I have, somebody who's understanding, and then you just work around it and you find, you know, ways that you can still be intimate and still have fun. If you can't always do intercourse, obviously there's all kinds of other things on the menu.
Lots.
As you mentioned.
Hey, ask my husband what's on the menu.
Let's get him on the show.
Jesus, criminy. And can I also say something though about how great he is? 15 years together. Okay. That's a long time.
Yeah.
That's like I've never had anything like that. That's that. The only thing longer than that is my sobriety, literally. And, yeah. He is constantly dreaming up new things in the bedroom. He's creative.
How old is he?
He's 47.
Wow. Well, that's funny because Bob is 3 years younger than I am.
Oh, well, there you go. So hang on to your hat, honey, because it ain't going to slow down. If you're anything like Zachy double you. Which is a great thing. I mean, isn't that what you want? Menopause, here's the other thing. Menopause can take its toll on a woman. I'll speak for myself, but it's taken its toll on me emotionally.
Yeah.
Because when you're sleep deprived and when you're sitting, you know, trying to present yourself, this happened to me last week. You know, I have a day job and I have to present myself and I'm selling myself and my service. And I'm sitting in front of two men and I'm in the middle of a pitch and I'm killing it, if I do say so myself. And then all of a sudden, I wear glasses, as you know. I felt my body turn into a furnace, mm-hmm. and my glasses totally fogged up. Mm-hmm. And I'm having a hot flash of epic proportions. And I'm sure like me being excited and like being in the moment added to it. Mm-hmm. But I was a little embarrassed and mortified. And I just had to take my glasses off. There were beads of sweat dripping down my face.
Yeah.
And I had to fan myself. And I said, sorry, guys, I'm just going to take a pause here for a sec. Bear with me. But it's one of those things where it's like, that can affect a person a little bit. You know, you want to be this vibrant, you know, I've got on a power suit or whatever. I'm presenting myself in the best way I can. And then all of a sudden I break into a sweat and it kind of, it gets you a little bit. And so to have, it makes me feel shitty about myself sometimes, you know, like, I'm sleepless. I'm depleted. I'm sweating like a pig. My boobs start in my armpits, you know, just like there's a list that goes on and on and on. And then I come home and I've got a 47-year-old totally hot husband who wants to screw every night of the week. And I'm like, I'm not doing too shabby,
yeah.
You know, but I'm just saying it does help to have a man, you know, Bob's obviously very supportive, chiming in on the D-mannose and the estriol conversation.
Yeah.
You got a dude who supports you and who's obviously into you and willing to just, this is life, right? This is what you get when you get the,
yeah. I mean, I definitely didn't, I didn't think that somebody like Bob even existed. So, you know, this is a good segue into the, female orgasm thing.
Yeah, baby.
Because, you know, the other night Bob and I were talking and I said, you know, Stephanie's going to come on the show. And, you know, maybe you can think of some good subjects that we could talk about. And, you know, he did talk, he said, you know, what about, the myth of the vaginal orgasm and how most men don't know what they're doing, mm-hmm. and they don't know how to, you know, give a good orgasm. And so, and like oftentimes we'll be watching a show, or a movie or something like that. And the couple will have had sex and Bob will make some comment and go, yeah, she probably didn't have an orgasm.
And you know what? Probably not. Yeah.
And I
watch that TV sex and that movie sex happen all the time. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There's more work that goes into it than just throwing me up against a wall and sticking it in. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, there's a BuzzFeed article that I found. Okay. And it says, it's the statistic that the first statistic that I saw was something about, let's see, a recent study in the Journal of Sexual Medicine found that women only orgasm 62.9% of the time. Well, and that men orgasm 85.1. If I were asked how many, you know, like if somebody said to me, what do you think the percentage is for women orgasming versus men? I would say maybe 10% of women. I don't even believe that 62% of them are having orgasms if they're doing intercourse,
right.
Not at all. I mean, mm-hmm. I had one friend who told me that she could have an orgasm when she was having intercourse if she was on top and that she knew how to straddle herself and move in a certain way. I have not found that position. I have never found it because, you know, it's just like there's this episode in Sex and the City when Miranda's having this guy who thinks he's, you know, giving her an orgasm and she tells him, she goes, well, you know where the clitoris is? And he said, yeah. And she goes, well, it's like 3 inches above where you think it is.
Yeah, yeah, really. Inch above, oh, please, or whatever. That's pathetic.
And so,
yeah, I remember that.
So it's like, I, you know, I've, I'll just go over my experience, and I'll uh-huh. say that, you know, I can't remember. I used to count the, I had an official count of how many people I've had sex with, and I'm not a prude. But I just never was somebody who was into, casual sex. Although, mm-hmm. you know, I haven't really had too many really, Bob is the first adult committed relationship I've ever been in. I've had relationships and I've dated people that I've been intimate with. And then there were a few people here and there that, you know, I mean, I guess they could be glorified one night stand types or whatever. There was only one guy that I met that I had sex with the night that I met him. But other than that, and it has nothing to do with morality or anything like that. It's just not really my thing. I don't really feel comfortable being intimate with someone that I don't know. And, you know, I would say that two of them prior to Bob knew what they were doing, but only one of them who I, you know, dated for over a year gave me one orgasm. And then the other one in on and off again for 4 years, I got two orgasms out of him. And that guy tried, man. He tried. He really gave it the good effort. And I don't know if it was just because I didn't know how to guide him or what it was. And so I was wondering, like, well, why? Why is that? Well, I think the reason why women don't speak up, and you can chime in on this, mm-hmm. I think a lot of the times that women don't speak up about it is because they fear that they're going, they like the guy, and they want the guy to like them, and they know that if they tell him that they're not giving them pleasure the way that they think they are, they're going to be insulted and they're not going to be interested anymore.
Right.
And, you know, like my girlfriend was with her boyfriend and she told me that I guess she wasn't, you know, getting to where she needed to go. And he got so frustrated. He was going down on her. He got so frustrated. He got up and walked out of the room.
Oh God.
So women are afraid that, you know, if you say something, it's like, we feel like the men don't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. And it's not all of them. Because obviously some do, but we don't know always how to tell. And here's the key. This guy that only gave me two orgasms never said to me when we were out of bed, hey, is there anything I could be doing better? Or is there anything that they never ask?
Right.
And so since, you know, they, you know, maybe while they're in bed, they might say, do you like this or whatever? But it's if they're not asking you what you like, it kind of shows that they're not interested in
right.
knowing what you like.
Right. Or being vocal about what they like.
Yeah.
Because isn't that awesome when your partner's telling you, hey, you know what I would really like right now is
yeah.
this. Or, you know, trying something new. And how does that feel? That's so important because mm-hmm. it is, you know, you nailed it. Some women might be too afraid to say, hey, could you try this for fear of insulting the guy? Or I think that's why women fake orgasms, because they want to make their partner, and I'll speak, you know, from my experience, it's been with men, but you want them to enjoy the experience and you don't want them to feel bad. But my God, I mean, there's no point in being in a relationship where you're going back to that same person to you know, be intimate with them mm-hmm. and you're not getting what you want out of it. Or there's no pleasure. There's no, you know, there's no orgasm in the end. I mean, that's kind of why we're doing this. We want it to feel good and we want to have the orgasm in the end.
Yeah. I mean, and then there's the idea of a vaginal orgasm. And like Bob and I talk about that and he's like, I think it's bullshit. And so I said to him the other night, I said, well, okay, there's the idea of an orgasm when you can compare it to a sneeze, like that mm-hmm. big burst of like, boo.
Yeah,
that's an orgasm. And for a woman, it's a clitoral orgasm. It's like this big sneeze, right? Well, uh-huh. I would say that what I would describe as a vaginal orgasm isn't really necessarily an orgasm. It's just kind of a euphoric feeling when you're having intercourse, where it feels really great.
Yes.
But it's not like you don't get the big sneeze at the end.
Correct. But have you guys done any G-spot exploration?
Not really, because the UTI thing, there's been worry, you know, like there's still some caution. I imagine as we move forward and the, you know, with estriol and all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
we might become a little more brave. But I have, at least in past relationships, no, I haven't explored that. So what
it's
do you have
there.
To
it's there.
So is it like the sneeze?
It's almost, it's like a light switch. I mean, you got to kind of like, Bob will find it for you. and it's like, you know, they say it's the size of a Cheerio, right? Uh-huh. You go and you get in there, and once you can, my husband knows where it is, and he found it all by himself. And, but I mean, I'm sure he did some research. Trust yeah. me. I mean, like this is no joke to him. He takes pride in this shit. And so that happens. And sometimes you can kind of get to it during intercourse, mm-hmm. but in my experience, if I'm going to have an orgasm during intercourse, there's other stuff going on as well.
Yeah.
You know, there are hands involved, and then there's, you know, the clitoris is involved. And then it's this like double thing where you get that you described it, that euphoric vaginal feeling.
Yeah. You need to write a song about that.
It's totally true though.
Yeah.
Cause it feels fantastic. And then you couple that
right.
with, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's almost bedtime. Just kidding. because let me also tell you something, you guys, we have two children.
Yeah.
Okay. And we have a 9-year-old daughter. She goes to sleep and that's the end of it. She's out. We have a son who's almost 13 and doing his own shit.
Yeah.
But he likes to stay up late, and our bedrooms are they're right next to each other. So we have to go through this rigmarole where the door is closed. We have to commit to, okay, lights out, devices off to our kid. And then on goes the sound machine. Yeah. Just in case.
Right.
Not like we're in there like a couple of banshees screaming, but yeah. you know, you just want to keep it on the down low a little bit yeah. with your kid on the other side of the wall, because I don't need to scar him.
yeah, totally.
But I'm just saying, you know, you got to commit to it. And you guys, what a wonderful relationship you two have, where you're so open and having this conversation with him sitting right there. and I think you're doing a service for women, providing a service, I should say, because this is something that we should very openly be able to talk about with our partners.
Yeah, it is.
Because sex is, as in the words of George Michael, sex is natural, sex is fun. I think we should make it should just be that way. And we should be there for each other to say, hey, what do you like? What did you like about last night? Or what could I do differently tonight that, you know, and it doesn't have to be weird.
No, it never, you know, that's the thing. It's like, I even incorporated some of this in my book, Peyton's Choice, which is a book about a teenage girl who finds herself in her, like, the first love and all of that. And then she gets pregnant and chooses an abortion and all of that. Anyway, in the storytelling, I really wanted to touch on some of these subjects that we're talking about today. And, you know, I had her best friend give her the advice that you need to really be upfront about your orgasm, because once you start down that road of faking and lying, it's really hard to go back the other direction.
Yeah.
Because it's a very touchy subject with everybody. They want to believe that, you know, when you're with a man and he's working really hard and he believes that he's giving you, you know, you've led him to believe that he's giving you orgasms, and then you change it up and say, oh, I've been lying this whole time. That's, you're setting yourself up for trouble there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, completely. 100%. And you're setting yourself up for trouble with the lying, and you're committed to, well, if I faked it this way, do I have to fake it the same way? I mean, like that takes
it's
all the joy
much.
Out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah. It's just too much. And it's good to just, and the thing is if there's any men out there listening who maybe feel afraid or, you know, don't like, you know, cause I also think that some men, not all, some men, don't want to do the work. You know, they're lazy and they want their orgasm and they don't really give a shit if you have one. And to those men, I would say, you know, you're really missing out, because there's so much fun in the exploration. And of course, mm-hmm. having an orgasm is fun. Of course, you know, doing the obvious stuff is fun. But sex to me is just like playtime. It's adult play.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I'm just gonna pop in here again and say, you know,
hi Bob.
Hi, Steph. You know, that's a really good point because I think too many people put a lot of stake. It's like you're suddenly dealing with people look at sex as if they're trimming the green wire or the blue wire when they're trying to defuse a bomb. And instead of putting this all this sense of urgency into it, just fucking have fun with it. And right. And obviously that has to be a mutual thing, but I think people way too much stock in performance instead of just having a good time with it and asking their partner what they like. And I'm talking specifically to guys. You need to ask your partner what they like. Don't yep. sit there and wonder, is she having an orgasm or is she not having, I don't know. Just ask and stop putting so much goddamn effort into it.
And know that for some women, and I will say that this has happened with me, sometimes you feel shy. So somebody will say, does that feel good? And you're afraid to say something. So I think instead of saying, no, that doesn't feel good, or, you know, you're afraid of disappointing the other person. So I think the way you handle that is, you know what I really like if you do this? Mm-hmm. That's a positive twist on, you know, how somebody can pleasure you without making them feel like, you know, they've been failing all, you know, in everything that right. they've done.
Or and, let's try this.
Yeah, exactly. Hey. It's like you said, your husband comes up with all these new ideas. Well, that's, you just say, hey, I have an idea. And, you know, whether it's if you guys want to watch movies together, you know, I know it's not feminist of me to suggest watching porn, but if that works for you, do that. If there's books out there, if, you know, whatever it is, I mean, I know there's tantric classes. Some people get into the whole tantric thing. I think it's like, it's worth exploring and it's not something to be ashamed of or be shy about, but women have to speak up. And I think that's part of the problem is women feel afraid.
I think just one last thing before, and then I'm going to be done. I won't say anything else.
You don't have to.
Keep on going, Bob.
Guys, if you're not going down on your women or your woman, she's probably not having an orgasm. Yeah, I hate to break it to you. And I just reiterating what you both were saying, you know, a few seconds ago. It's not happening, guys. So I'm just passing that along to you. I know
right,
it might be
right.
bad news. It might be a shock. And you might be going, well, no, wait a minute. She said, no, she's not.
She's lying. It's Meg Ryan right. from.
Because she pities you. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I think it's.
That was a joke.
It's genuinely out of fear and out of like, I think she doesn't want to disappoint. She doesn't want to lose you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I think that's a lot of it. And then like, we're going to wrap this up in a minute, but this woman on my Facebook page, let's see, let me read what she wrote. I posted yesterday that we're going to talk about this. So she said, our media society portrays sex as completely geared towards male pleasure. Sex is portrayed as one-sided, with the beginning and end reflected on the climax of a man. Our sex education system doesn't focus on education regarding the female orgasm and how it occurs. Women are conditioned not to ask or demand physical, sexual pleasure or orgasm. And, you know, she's right. And I remember seeing some studies in the last couple of years that said that lesbians have orgasms all the time. And that's because they go down on each other. You know, yeah. they know what they're doing and they know where the area is.
And they have hands
yeah.
and they've used them. And that, you know, you can, if you get a dude who knows what he's doing mm-hmm. with his hands, mm-hmm. then you've got the double whammy of the go down and the hand. And, and I think, you know, what's so funny, I'm going to say this and my husband will forgive me. I mean, he's not going to leave me now. When we first started dating, we have another mutual friend who had just started dating this woman and he couldn't figure out how to make her have an orgasm. She was being honest with him. And he sought the counsel of my then boyfriend, who's now my husband. And I found this piece of paper. It was an email that was printed out and it was in like the side pocket of the passenger side of his door. And I read it and it was to Zach and it was back and forth with him and his friend. And Zach was instructing him how to pleasure this chick. And then the email back was, it worked. And I thought, oh my God, guys, if you have a friend that you trust who seems to have a pretty good thing going with his lady.
You know what? That was Bob.
Him.
That was Bob was the Mr. Instructor when he was younger. He was telling all his young friends how to please a woman. And they would all come running back to him and going, yeah, it works. So yeah, that's true. That's hilarious.
There you go. Oh good job, God. Bob. And, you know, we scored, Kimberly, it sounds like. I was going to say that.
Yes, we did. We absolutely did.
Now I've definitely got to put out tonight.
Okay, so I think you know, we've covered all those subjects that I wanted to cover. We're going to continue talking about the female orgasm in the next segment, and another thing that's only for my subscribers.
Oh, right. Yes.
So for everyone listening to the free show, I hope you had a good time. I know Stephanie and I did, right? And so did Bob.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. And then if you sign up to be a subscriber, you can hear us on And Another Thing.
Thanks for having me.
Here she comes again.